David, we were talking about just how far this stuff can go, and apparently it's going all over the place.
Yeah, I mean, the report I have is from Columbus, North Dakota, Short Creek Dam, where they found an oily film floating on the top of the reservoir water after a rain, and all the fish were dead, and nobody went swimming. The water quality apparently was so bad. Now, remember, see, we see all the fish dead there. Now, our friend James Fox went into the Gulf, took water samples out of the Gulf water, the ocean water, had it tested at an independent lab, and found the parts per million, let alone billion, were 150 times the levels needed to kill fish. So you have levels of these toxic chemicals we talked about, 150 times the levels needed to kill fish, let alone humans, evaporating into the weather systems and going right up the center of Texas, all the way straight up the middle through the Great Plains to North Dakota and east. I mean, we're getting reports from all over. And that's why we know this isn't just a local phenomena from a local problem. We're seeing the same burning of the leaves, dead fish, and the destruction of whole crops as these chemicals are raining down all over the eastern, the Midwest to the eastern United States.
And people are breathing this, too.
And people are breathing it. And what's, you know, first, you know, this is very, very scary. And then we're going to talk about what we can actually do about the problem, because there really is something we can do. But the first thing is, you know, when I submitted the reports to NOAA and my sources at Boeing and at Lockheed, the first thing is when these, you know, employees pass it on to their bosses, oh, this is just a myth because it's an isolated incident. But when the reports keep coming in, we really have to wake up, because what we're looking at here is the pollution of our waters, the mutation of all of the biology in those waters. The humans cannot drink from their water tables from the toxic rains, which means virtually the entire eastern United States, or, you know, right pretty much east of Texas, straight up the middle. And eventually, you could see cancer epidemics if we don't solve the problem right away. And the first thing is to acknowledge, in science, you never turn your back on data. You never say, oh, that's, you know, I don't want to look at that data because it's bad data and it's going to make me look bad. We're talking about a possible cancer epidemic from the entire half of the country.
You know, it's like some people, they don't want to go to the doctor, David, because they don't want to hear what the doctor may tell them.
Exactly. I mean, but when you see media being turned away, I mean, James Fox is, you know, I've been staying in touch with him, and I'm sure you have too, on the Gulf situation. You're seeing camera crews being turned away by the police, and they have every right to have their cameras there, by a corporation that has usurped our government offices, you know, the police, the FBI, and the military. The military is escorting airplanes out of the airspace that have a right to be there. Who hired them? Who gave them permission to do that?
Have you heard that ships are being told, military ships are being told to get out of the area?
Now, this is the big exodus that's happening. We're seeing reports of military ships leaving the Gulf suddenly. We're seeing reports in Florida that no one can get a U-Haul because people are trying to move to get out of there because they know what's already happening. I mean, just from the local air quality, let alone how far this stuff is traveling, and they're trying to move west. And so, but you're seeing a president who just says, literally, you can see him verbatim saying that the air quality is fine and the water is fine. And so that's why kids are swimming in the water. And then they're going to the hospital, and they're winding up in the hospitals with lung disease, you know, lung problems, and even death in certain places.
Is anybody else investigating this, David, in terms of?
Well, it's really thanks to the internet. It's thanks to the American people with video cameras, because there is one news channel, and I sent a link to Lisa that shows the actual news channel that reported the toxic rains, but they're saying we don't know where they're coming from. You see, as if it's an isolated incident. But when you look at these farmers who have been looking at rains for aeons, I mean, for, you know, a human lifespan and their grandfather's lifespan and their great-grandfather's lifespan, they know everything that's going on in the ecology. And when they see oily film, you know, in their water glass, and then they see it in the crops and all the crops are dying, they know. So here's what I think everybody should do. If you live Texas east, right up the middle, I'm talking South Dakota, North Dakota, Kansas, Oklahoma East, get a glass, a clean glass, and set it out when it rains. and then the next morning collect the glass and look at the water. If it's murky, if it's even slightly discolored, have it tested. Make a little video and send it to NOAA. Send it to your congressman. And we need to do this in droves because this, you know, the reason I'm wanting to go on Coast to Coast tonight, and thank you for having me on in short notice, is to tell people that we need to wake up because this is the potential for the largest cancer epidemic we've ever seen. We know that these chemicals, if you ingest them through breathing or through drinking the water, you're going to be in serious, serious trouble. It's a very, very high-risk situation.
But, well, the first thing they have to do, David, they got to stop this leak.
Yeah, that's the first thing. And here's what I think in their strategy. You know, I have connections everywhere in the military. I have a friend who works at Boeing, and I tried getting, you know, some of these non-toxic solutions to him. I tried getting him my connection to NOAA, who does so much good work, and thank you very much for all the work. And what we're seeing is there's a total emphasis on capping the well. How are we going to cap this well? Why don't we know how to cap it, and why didn't we know how to cap it before the incident even took place? Well, from my connection at Lockheed Martin, our friend Boyd Bushman, I've mentioned many times, he told me in an email on July the 6th, in 10 days, the oil well will be capped. He didn't say we're trying a new technique. He said it will be capped. And I thought, how could he know that? Because here we are, you know, July 13th, mm-hmm. pretty much, and we've got the most successful cap to date. Now, we still don't know.
Let's hope it works.
Let's hope it works. But the emphasis has been from the admiral on the oil spill. Let's just forget about the marshes, forget about the wildlife, forget about the people. Let's just cap the well. And if I were the admiral in charge, I would have had an army of these natural non-toxic solutions placed on the oil before it hit the coastlines, not after and not during. And what we're seeing now is all of the focus is on capping the well, which is good, but we need just as much attention on the beaches and the people and the whole marshlands and the ecology, and that has not happened at all. That is not all of the natural non-toxic solutions are being turned down. And one of the things I heard this came from the general in charge of the spill, well, we don't want all of that, you know, cotton waste fluff floating around. So you don't want the cotton waste floating around, even though it absorbs the oil, and it won't float around because it's going to be wet. But you don't have a solution. You didn't deploy another solution and solve the problem. So we have a failure here. And now, as I've said before, the fumes in the Gulf that are evaporating and from fuel that's still sitting there and will be sitting there for months and months to come,
sure.
That fuel poses the greatest threat.